Mitch, I was laughing on Wednesday. I had to just time where Stephanie was here last Saturday while we were doing our arts and crafts fair, and had to put on a new operating program, Windows 7, for me, because we had the Windows XP and it was slowly dying and not supported anymore. But I lost a Word, and so, you know, the whole Word Office Suite program was gone, and all the documents are there. So she put on this sort of, you know, free Open Office thing until the new Word Suite would come in. And but I was laughing, as I have so many of the Bible studies, and everything's sort of laid out and prepared, you know, and I have most of it laid out ahead of time and prepared ahead of time, so I can, you know, so they get to that week, I'm not panicked, you know, I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to do it. Pretty much know what's going to happen, you know, week by week. And I had it all listed out in terms of what order they were in, and with this Open Office, all the documents came up, and all my notations for order were gone. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know where I am. I don't know which one I did. What was it? And I'm calling Joanne going, what did we study last Wednesday night? You know, just I'm trying to find myself in the you know. But fortunately, when I put the new Word in, it came in and we got it installed. And it's like, okay, I figuring it out. Yeah. They ordered a new Office. It's basically Office Word, you know, Word Office Suite with a publisher and everything. So it's, I think they... Yeah.
We, also, when they take the Bible, were they able to take your hard drive off there and get everything off your hard drive?
Well, I have an external hard drive.
Oh, okay.
So I have a MyBook.
So
yeah, it all stayed, you know, I have all the documents, I have everything. Just that how I noted in my mind, when you look at things, you know, where we were. Although, you know, it was all color coded in different things, and when I came up the new Word, it was all just all the same color. And I'm like, you know, I just lost that little bit of thing in it. It was like I was in a panic. I got all these studies. Where am I? You know. Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful when it's working. When it's not working, it's like it was finally figured out where we were. So today we're in Luke chapter 7. Here we're in Luke chapter 7, and we're starting in verse 36. And looking at basically the rest of that chapter. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. And so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, wiping. And her feet wiping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. I got to tell you, I hate that line. You know, it's like, Simon, I have something to say to you. And go ahead, teacher. Then Jesus told him the story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. And then he turned and looked at the woman and said to Simon, he looked at the woman and said to Simon, you got to, you know, I love the scripture at times, really captures it. He's looking at the woman and he's talking to Simon. "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and there many have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. And then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table among them said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Yeah. You read this story, you're just going, you know, there are just things in this story that just sort of, you know, can, you know, sink the claws in really good. You know, it's one of those things where you're just going, whoa, you know. One of the great Christian writers, A.W. Tozer, said this. He said, perhaps the most serious charge that can be brought against modern Christians is that we are not sufficiently in love with Christ. Says the Christ of fundamentalism is strong but hardly beautiful. It is rarely that we find anyone aglow with a personal love for Christ. Love that quote. You know, he says it captures the idea that if we have a weakness, it's not that he loves us, but that we don't love him. We're not sufficiently in love. And I don't particularly think those are off target. You know, we don't know much about this guy. You know, we have Jesus talking about John the Baptist and this, all of these things. And evidently he was one of the ones there in the midst of that. And you just have this sort of like one of the Pharisees, you know, invited Jesus to eat with him. And we don't know why. We don't know if he was curious about Jesus, what he was teaching, and wanted to hear more. If he was one of these guys that this was not uncommon for those who were wealthy in any given village when somebody with notoriety came through, like the visiting rabbi and supposedly, you know, possible Messiah Jesus come in, you have them dine at your house. That's, you know, what you did. And, you know, sort of rubbing elbows with them. Or because of his ego, we don't know. We just know that this guy, you know, was the Pharisees and he invited Jesus to dine with him. Now, when you came into someone's home, we've talked about this before. The homes would be set up that have, you know, they have like a lot and there'd be a wall and a gate. And the door, many times people talk about knocking at the door. Jesus stood knocking at the door. It's not the door of the building, but the door of the gate. And you were considered in the house, in the home, once you stepped to that gate. But usually there was an open courtyard right inside the gate and then the buildings. And when they would have these feasts and public dinners, many times, particularly in that environment and in that climate, they would eat outside. And when you were wealthy and you were having this visiting dignitary eat, you would have, number one, they ate Roman style, which meant they didn't sit around the table in chairs with four legs like we do. The Romans ate on couches where they reclined on their left side, ate with their right hand. And so, you know, it's like the Last Supper. Their feet are out here so people could, you know, Jesus washed the apostles' feet as they were laying on the couches, reclining. That's what this was. They were literally reclining around tables that would be set up in a U shape so the servants could come into the middle and serve the dinner and everything to each person as they needed and do all of that. So he had to, we don't know, you know, and the idea was that the host, the number one person or the most important guest or the host sat at the top of that U. And then where you know, there was a pecking order of where you sat. You know, this was the highest and the end of the U was the lowest. We don't know where, we don't have that, where they placed and all that stuff. But when you came into someone's home, there were some customary things. Number one, people are wearing sandals and they're walking on the streets with all the animals and everything, and usually you would have a servant or a slave or a young child who would have, you know, a big thing of water and a pitcher, and you would step in and they would, you know, rinse, take your sandals off and rinse the dirt and crud off your feet before you got further into the house, you know, and because so you didn't carry the stink of the road in. So that was the first thing that would happen is they would wash your feet. So that was the only part of you that really had all that on you, and they, you know, and literally go through that process. And Then you would be greeted after your feet had been washed, and the host would greet you with a customary hug and, you know, the, you know, sort of European kiss on the cheek kind of a thing. And then if particularly it was a hot or dusty day, they would, you know, they would have oil, you know, that didn't particularly, you know, have soap or, you know, those kind of things, but they have oil, and they would pour the oil on your head, and it would just rinse all the dirt, you know, out of your hair and refresh you. So, you know, there was this customary things that took place. And Simon evidently did none of those for Jesus. None of those things. Can you imagine being, you know, somebody calling you and saying, okay, you know, I want you to come over for dinner on Friday night. And you show up at the house and knock on the door. You know, your screen door is closed, but the door is open, the front door is open, and you knock on the door, and nobody really answers. You know, you just hear some noise, and you walk in, and you know, there's no food prepared, and they're all sitting around watching television. They're not paying attention to you at all. I mean, it's like, oh, hi, come on in. There's nothing. They're just, you know, not getting up. Hi, how you doing? Welcome. Give me a handshake, a hug. None of that stuff. Can I take your coat? Can I get you something to drink? Anything that normal we would do when somebody would come into your house. And that was the situation. This guy did none of those things. What do you think that means? Yeah. This was an insult. So, he was being a schmuck. That's right. You know, we're going to have this you know, itinerant country preacher that everybody's talking about in my home, but, you know, and for whatever reason, I want to hear this guy or you know, it's expected, but, you know, I don't have to, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, yeah. So, you know, Jesus is just sort of laying there. And when they would have these parties with visiting dignitaries, and particularly visiting teachers or rabbis, they would open the front gate, and people from the village could literally come in. They wouldn't eat. They wouldn't be offered anything. They wouldn't be offered any of the traditional, you know, welcoming because they weren't guests. But they could literally come and stand around the walls and listen to what was being said. That was very customary. They could never get into the house, but you come into that courtyard around that. And so so they would be out in the open, you know, having their dinner being served by reclining at things. And as they were doing that, you know, then the scripture says this woman who had, you know, lived a sinful life, hears that Jesus is there, grabs a, you know, a very expensive jar of perfume and ointment, and you know, she stood behind Jesus' feet weeping and using her tears and her hair cleansed his feet and was kissing his feet. Now, don't, when you think of someone kissing your feet, okay, we would go, you know. But she's kissing the top of his feet, not the bottom. Okay? Sometimes you'll see, you know, you'll see pictures of people approaching royalty, and they bow at their feet. And the people would say, "And he worshipped Jesus." Most of the time, when you see somebody said he worshipped Jesus, they would literally fall at their feet and be on their face with their, and maybe touch his feet or grab his ankles. You know, so this lady comes in and she's just totally coming apart and crying and weeping and drying his feet with her hair, and she takes this jar of expensive perfume, and, you know, I imagine she washed his feet and did the perfume and then kissed them. Knew that in the right order. When you think of this, when you buy or are given perfume, ladies, you know, it's usually a bottle where you can get a little drop or two out, or a spray bottle, you know. These things would come, these perfume was a heavy ointment, and it would come in sealed jars. They weren't very big. You don't think of a big thing like this. They were small sealed jars, and you had to break them to open them. So there was no, if you opened it, you used it. So it's a rare commodity, and it was a sign of, you know, it was almost an investment. If you had one of these, you know, whatever her, whatever, this was could have been her life savings. This could have been her, this is something that's worth something. And we see this happen a couple of times where somebody comes in and uses this, and, even at one point, Judas, this could have been used for, it was worth $300. It should have been used to give to the poor, 300 denarii, worth 4 or 5 months' pay for a normal person's pay. So this is expensive stuff. And to use it, you literally have to, picture a jar that comes up to a narrow neck, and you really have to break that. So there's no saving it. Once you do that, you use it. We don't know anything of her identity, who she was. And there are some traditions that would identify her with some of the ladies that are mentioned in Scripture, but there's really nothing. It's all conjecture. And we don't know. There's no indication that she particularly noticed the lack of respect that Simon had given Jesus. I don't think what she was doing had anything to do with Simon. This is a woman who, whatever her reputation is, it's not good, and, she could have been a prostitute. Again, remember, if you didn't have a son to care for you when your husband died, you were almost, and you didn't have any personal wealth, you were literally out on the street, and that's how most of the prostitutes became that. So this could have been her situation. But she finds something or sees something in Jesus or has heard something about Jesus that she's just weeping in tears. She comes in with that attitude. She comes into the place, goes right to him, crying and weeping and washing his feet and anointing his feet and kissing him. We're basically, just doing all of that. In the tradition of the Jews, you had the law, the Old Testament law, which stated, all of the things you can read in the Old Testament. And then the Jews had the oral traditions, which would later become the Talmud. And in the oral tradition, said that anyone who was touched by a sinner became unclean. So this would make Jesus ceremonially unclean, make him a sinner as well. So she's doing this, and all the people are looking at her going, I know this woman, boy, you can just sort of see those wheels turning. And she was wiping his feet with her hair. The oral traditions, the Talmud, taught the Jews that if a woman let down her hair in public in the view of anyone but her husband, that was a reason for divorce. In their culture, that was, that was just something you didn't, you however they wore their hair bound up. When you see all these pictures in the movies and the girls have the long, beautiful hair, that's not how it was, because that was hidden, that was bound up, and you only let your hair down in the presence of your husband at home. It was almost like the equivalent of public nudity in their eyes. And so that was a reason. So here this woman comes in, starts doing this, and lets her hair down in public. Well, this could be a reflection of, whatever her lifestyle was. But do you think this woman was aware of anybody else in the room? Or that she gave a rip? She's just totally focused. And another side of it is, how comfortable are you when there's someone in the room having an emotional breakdown, sobbing uncontrollably? You're sitting in a restaurant having a nice dinner, and the woman at the next table is just coming apart at the seams. How comfortable is that? So there's a lot of things going on. And You know, that's just crazy. You know, so she's not aware of anything. And that's one thing that is a good thing to remember. I mean, there's a couple of things in here that, like, you know, and Jesus answered their thoughts. That just, you know, man, this is that wall, man. He hit that wall, and it's like, I'm not even sure what to do with that. But the other thing is, on the more positive side, wouldn't it be nice to be so focused on Jesus? She didn't care what anybody thought. Wow. That is powerful. She didn't care what anybody thought. She didn't care what these people thought. She was so focused on Jesus. The fact that there was anybody else even there was irrelevant. See? That there's those two things right there. Those two things make this whole story worthwhile. I mean, there's a lot to take home from this, but those two things are really powerful. And so Simon and his Pharisaical friends, and, you know, the guys sitting at the table, and it would almost all be men sitting at the table, are, you know, thinking to themselves, man, if this guy, if, you know, you can see their cynicism. If this guy was a prophet, he would know who was touching his feet. You know, so already, yeah, we're right. Yeah, this guy's nothing. This guy's nothing. If he knew if he was a prophet, you can just sort of see that, you know. So there's obvious hostility towards Jesus and the fact that they didn't greet him, didn't give him any of the customary things. And as soon as this woman starts doing this, they're looking at this and they're judging Jesus. See, they've already judged her. Now they're judging Jesus. Man, if this guy was a, you know, if he was a prophet, he would know. You know, I mean, can he just open his eyes and see? You know, I'm not sure we should rush past that, particularly like this week. Here at the church, dealing with a problem in our community of people that are in a situation of being homeless, and you want to help, and you want to see them, and, you know, and they're not invisible, and then walking that fine line between seeing them and recognizing them and helping them, and getting them to where they can get the help they need. But I'm sorry, you cannot camp out and live here. See? And you see what I mean? There's an important point. They saw her a certain way. They looked at her and they saw a sinful woman and they didn't see anything else. And sometimes we have a tendency to make our judgment, and then after that, we don't see anything else. We never see the person. We see the whatever box we've put them into, and that's really easy to do. I was thinking of when Kathy and I took Delcy out for her birthday. We went down to Spumoni restaurant. They're on the old road. Great Italian food. And we were early. There was hardly anybody there. I mean, they opened up, and we were probably the first ones being seated, and we were sitting inside by the window. And while we were there, people came. And a family came in and sat on the patio, and they really didn't ever come into the restaurant. And one of the guys, there's a couple of guys, two little boys, two young women, and one older woman. They were Muslim. All the women were covered, you know. They weren't; their faces weren't covered, but you know, all the scarves and everything. And you know, it was interesting to watch the social interaction as they came in and how the guys were acting versus how the girls were acting and everything. But it just sort of struck me. One of the girls had a baby. Grandma was holding the baby. I don't care what culture you're in. grandma was holding the baby, you know, and there was that, you know, whatever else you could sit there, and it was so easy sometimes, particularly in our culture, to look and start being on your guard. Man, this grandma was holding this baby and feeding this little baby that was so cute. See, what do we see? And we need to think about that. Now, I don't know if the Pharisee got this, but he was considering the fact that Jesus was letting this woman do this in bad taste. But there would have been some people who would have thought that the Pharisee allowing Jesus into his home was in bad taste as well. There's a lesson here. It's hard to reach people with the gospel if you don't associate with them, you know, and all of that stuff. So Jesus rebukes the guy, tells this great little story, you know, hey, this guy owes $500, you know, and this guy owes $50, and who do you forgive, and all that stuff. And Jesus chooses and says, hey, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who's been forgiven little loves little. Her sins have been forgiven, already done. He doesn't say, I forgive you. He says, her sins have already been forgiven because she's loved much. And then he, you know, says, I came into your house, you didn't do anything. You didn't wash my feet, she's washed my feet with her tears. You didn't wipe my feet, she's wiped them with her hair. You didn't anoint me with oil, she's anointed my feet with this perfume. You didn't give me a hug of greeting and she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. Wow. And, and God goes, look at this woman. You know, he's telling to, look at this woman. See? Making him look at her and saying, you failed. You know, she came in and she says, your faith has saved you. That's an interesting statement. Jesus did nothing to her. There are times when Jesus walks up and heals people. There are times when Jesus forgives people. There are times when the four guys had let their friend down to the roof. The friend was just, you never hear anything from him. The friends did it, and Jesus looks at the guy and says, your sins are forgiven. The guy did nothing. There are times when the guys do nothing, and Jesus responds with compassion and heals or forgives or whatever. There are other times when people come up, the woman who touches the hem of his garment, or the centurion who says, hey, you don't need to come to my house, you just say the word, where he says, your faith has healed you. See? He says her sins are already forgiven. He's forgiven her. The moment she came in and started weeping at his feet, her sins are forgiven because she was loving much. He who loves much is forgiven much. And, you know, Simon's like, you pretty much, up until a certain point, he's getting the point. And then as soon as he says her sins are forgiven, he misses the point again. Who's this guy who thinks he can forgive sins? Simon missed the point again. See, he missed that point. And that is a powerful thing. Because we can come to Jesus with such love and faith that there are times when it's our love and our faith that do it. There are times when our love and faith doesn't have anything to do with it, and Jesus is doing it. And we need to understand those are different things. Those are different things in Scripture. Clearly different things in Scripture. Our faith is important, and our faith is powerful, and powerful things can happen with faith, and we can see that in history. There are just times when Jesus does things. Jesus forgave her. He had to do the forgiving, but it was her love and faith that brought her there and created her actions. Our love and faith must be the motivating factor. Tozer was right. Maybe we don't love Jesus enough. Maybe we're too concerned about what everybody else sees in us, what everybody else is looking, too concerned about everybody else in the room and not concerned about Jesus in the room. For me, I think that's the big story. That's what, for me, that's what I get. I still struggle with Jesus answered their thoughts. it takes me a long time to process that, because that's a big one. But can we recognize Jesus in the room and love him? Or are we just more concerned with, how people perceive us instead of how he perceives us. So read through this passage. It's rich, and there are things that will cause you to stumble. And I, like I say, I still stumble over that. He answered their thoughts. And I back away from that really quick because it's like, you know, most of us have, that's where we mess up. You know, most of us don't do stupid stuff, but we certainly think stupid stuff. You know, and so we need to be aware of that. So look at this passage, read it through again, and ask God to help you point out what he wants you to see in this and take from it. Okay? Father, thank you for being with us today, for this interaction, for the faith of this woman who would drive her to do this. The fact that Jesus recognized her faith, and even when no one else did, when no one else saw her, he did. And she saw him when no one else saw him. It goes both ways. Help us to get that and to find those jewels that you have for us hidden here and make them our own. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, yeah.
Another hope that's the same kind of scenario, though, you know. What do you see?